Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, it's the debut of our interview show.
Yeah, fantasy football is a huge passion of mine. And something I'm hoping to do, you know, once I get out of wrestling is do that, do fantasy sports full time.
Pro wrestler, fantasy fan, who could it be? You already know because you read the description to this podcast. But here he comes now.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this inaugural edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. You're saying inaugural? How could it be the first? Well, this is our first interview podcast. We are now going to have new shows every Wednesday as part of the Next Fan Up family. Normally, I do interviews with some of the friends that I've met over the years and other guests on the Thursday podcast, but we realized the Thursday podcast was becoming really, really long. And so to shorten it up, we wanted to take some of that great content that we still provide you and give it to you on another day. And so Wednesday will now be interview day on the Next Fan Up podcast. So you can enjoy our show now 3 days a week. Recaps will be available late Sunday evening, early Monday morning. Previews available on Thursdays, and now our interview podcast will be available on Wednesday. So every Wednesday from now until about the end of the season, we'll have a different interview. I'll be involving a lot of the people that are part of the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. There's a link to that league. It's available right now to view on ESPN.com. I'll have that link in the show notes so that you can go and check that out. And that's exactly why I had my first guest join us on this show. He's been a fantasy football player for years and has been a good friend of mine. We talked about Star Wars just a few months ago. He is the pro wrestler Eric Young. Eric, it's been too long, man.
Yeah, it's way too long. I mean, the Star Wars movies have to come out a little closer together so we can talk and hang out more often, for sure.
Exactly. Eric and I, we did a mega recap of The Force Awakens way back in December. You're going to want to check out This Week in Podcasting. That archive is still available, even though the show is, I wouldn't say it's dead. It's just on a very long extended hiatus. Check it out. iTunes, everywhere great podcasts are heard. We're not here to talk about Star Wars. We're not here to talk about pro wrestling. We're here to talk about your other love, Mr. Young, and that is fantasy football. How long you've been playing fantasy football?
I guess it's. I guess this would be the start of 12 years. So I've been playing a while. I love it. It consumes me from about the start of July on until the end of the season. Hockey. Takes up the rest of the part of my life. But yeah, fantasy football is a huge passion of mine and something I'm hoping to do, once I get out of wrestling is do that, do fantasy sports full time.
Nice. I love it. I love the passion. And you've been really involved in the fantasy community. I noticed were you doing something with the fantasy network there?
Yeah. I did last year. I did about a 5 or 6 day run on DraftKings show with Nando DeFino, a really good buddy of mine, kind of like as a trial thing. And they said, man, whenever you want, you got a job waiting for you. So talk with Mike Cardano and trying to figure out something on a more regular basis this year with the Fantasy Network. And they've been awesome to me and Sirius. And I mean, as you know, when you were up at ESPN and, I'm still close with those guys and, a lot of like cool people in the industry, as you well know, and it's cool. Like I get to go to these things and hang out with people that I've listened to. I got to meet Jamie Eisenberg and Adam Azer the last 2 weeks. I did a flex league draft that's run by Jake Seeley up in Washington, and then I did a really cool fantasy cup, and it's for charity. And when I win that, I'll be donating $2,000 to the SPCA.
How many leagues would you say you've won over the 12 years you've been in this?
Offhand is hard. I mean, to be honest, and as you know, you've played for a long time too. It's difficult. I mean, and especially when you're playing against people that are skilled. I really only play in one friends and family league where they if they start to lose, they kind of stop paying attention and stuff. But the rest of my leagues are highly competitive. You know, some of them for a little bit of money. You know, this one I'm doing this year with Fantasy Network is for charity. So yeah, it's highly competitive. But I've won several championships, and I've in my one big league records of 14 team PPR, I've never missed the playoffs. So gotta hang my cap on that one. That's ultra competitive.
Awesome. So now that we have established your chops and the reason why you're here, this is the second year at Blog Talk Radio that I've run the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Football Expert League. Last year was sort of our experiment. This year we went all in. We've got 10 teams. We did everything standard. We wanted to make it so that it could apply to as many different people as possible. And we know that 10-team standard leagues on ESPN is still the most popular format of fantasy football. You mentioned PPR, which is a points per reception league. I know a lot more people are getting involved in that. There's also obviously individual defensive player leagues, which I find honestly to be, and I don't know about your opinion about IDP leagues, but to me, I find it, unless you get like J.J. Watt or pass rusher or that middle linebacker, there's really no point in playing IDP leagues.
I mean, I've played in a few, and it just seems like a real crapshoot, like you said. Like, unless you get one of the top, you know, five guys, J.J. Watt or, you know, someone like that, like, you're guessing every single week. I mean, it's almost the same as defenses, you know, like everyone, oh, you know, we've got to take the Broncos, they're going to be the best this year because they were number one last year. Like, nobody knows. The year before, it was Seattle, and a bunch of people spent, I think in my one draft, a guy spent an eighth-round pick in Seattle, and they were a decent defense last year for fantasy. But, like, middle of the road, you could have got, you know, someone like the Lions in you know, your very last pick, and they were, like, 10 points different so for the whole season. So, yeah, I don't – IDP is not my thing. It's a little overwhelming, especially when you get, you know, doing every position and stuff. I did one league like that. It's just, this is very overwhelming.
Do you play in auction leagues?
I've done a couple. My first ever auction was actually with you in the man's league. It's the first time I ever auctioned, and you can tell by how my draft ended up. I didn't have enough quarter. It was two quarterback, and I didn't have enough quarterbacks, and I actually was – I was going to do the draft at the Atlanta airport, and I couldn't get the Wi-Fi to work, so I ended up not getting on the flight that I was supposed to be on and renting a car and driving it one way from Atlanta to Nashville, and called the one guy that I knew would be awake, and he was on his computer doing my draft over the phone while we were doing that league. So I had a lot of stuff against me, but I had a blast in that league, you know, playing with you and a bunch of the fans of the Fantasy Focus podcast. But yeah, auction is super fun, but they're time consuming.
Yeah, they are. And the company's Man's League, which we should probably get you involved in, featuring a lot of the all-stars from Man's Leagues of the past, that's not a redraft league. That's a keeper league. And our keeper draft is coming up this weekend. So excited about that. But auctions can be a lot of fun too. And as you mentioned, they are very time consuming and a lot of research necessary to go into an auction league.
Yeah. With all drafts, it's almost impossible to prepare because every draft is completely different. I love doing mock drafts. I do them every day because it's fun. And for me, it's like a good exercise of, you know, reading your ADP chart and figuring out what players might be available, stuff like that. But the reality is, I mean, one or two picks, crazy reaches, or, you know, different guys picking in different spots, and all your prep is out the window, and you got to learn just to roll the punches.
So I've invited you here to sort of grade the Blog Talk Radio Expert League. It wouldn't be fair to bring in an expert, like quote unquote expert, to grade the expert league. I wanted somebody who's not necessarily in the business, but has enough insights into fantasy, and you fit the perfect bill. So I will readily admit, one, as I'm a member of the league, that I will try and take most of my biases out, but I'll probably throw in a few shots when I can. And two, I will also admit that I probably should have done a few more mock drafts because I'm not 100% happy with my team and the way it turned out.
Yeah, like I skimmed through, you know, the league. I got some printouts here in front of me. I can say right now, without a single doubt, Team Williams, I don't know whose team that is, but his is by far, I feel like maybe, you know, he had my spirit take over his body and draft that team. Like, his team, it seems, I mean, if you're asking me, that's the team to beat in this league. I love that draft. Odell Beckham, you know, number two, and I think he's gonna have a crazy year. So yeah, but it's 10 teams. So I mean, the teams are stacked, man. They're loaded.
Well, let me tell you, Team Williams will be very happy because it's not a he, it's a her. It's the Her Fantasy Football League, the sisters of the Her Fantasy Football. Brandon Lee, who is now involved with a bunch of those.
I know Brandon very well, yeah.
Yeah, she actually ended up representing the team in the draft. I know Ashley will be the sister that will probably pay most attention to this particular team for them. So yes, they're I'm sure they're going to be excited to hear that you like their team the best.
That comes as no surprise. She's a beast. You know, she knows her stuff and is super fun and sweet and really fun to draft with. And I mean, like looking at the team, she's done her homework. I mean, and she's got a whole team full of people that I'm targeting in my drafts. LeSean McCoy, I think, is going to be the number one running back this year. That team is loaded.
I will tell you one of the things that surprised me, and perhaps it's because I've been out of it. I'm not as into the fantasy stuff as much as I used to be. Obviously, I've got my hands in a lot more different pies than just fantasy stuff at this point in my career. But I was surprised to see that run on wide receivers early in the first round. Is that something that that's a thing this year?
This year, I'll tell you right now, especially in quote-unquote expert drafts or pro drafts, like I did the Flex League in Washington. We did a full-point PPR 12-team snake draft, and it was – I mean, there were like 50 receivers gone in the first five rounds, and that's not a mistake, 50 receivers. I had to take reach for Torrey Smith in the fifth round if that does anything for you. Now, I like Torrey Smith this year. But fifth round, you know, if you're, you're just skimming through and you looked at me in the fifth round taking Torrey Smith, you think that maybe there's something wrong with me. But in pro drafts, the wide receivers are just going crazy. I think last year was a bit of an anomaly. Like, I mean, if it's a full point PPR, yeah, I'm leaning towards wide receiver, you know, and because they produce so many points. But at the same time, like, you know, like some of the running backs are falling way too far. Like last year was, you know, the worst year maybe ever for running backs, but I don't think it's going to be that way this year. I think things will even out and it'll be pretty even. I think people are going to be so loaded at wide receiver, they're going to go to the year and really, really be hurting at running back. So.
Well, I will tell you, Adrian Peterson fell to the sixth pick in this particular draft, and I honestly think that might be the steal of the draft right there. Happened right in the first round.
Yeah, in some leagues, he's going all the way down to the 12th pick. I don't think I've seen him fall out of the first round, but I think I got him ninth overall in the Fantasy Cup draft I did with pros. Guys like, you know, Glenn Lowy, I mean, he does this for a living and is a DFS guy, but, I mean, knows his stuff. Like, there's pros in this league, and that's how far down he fell. People are going wide receiver crazy this year.
There was a run on running backs in the second round. By these experts, obviously they got their stud wide receiver early. Then they're trying to grab that running back that can help move the ball down the field for them, so to speak. This is fantasy, so there's really no moving of balls here, or deflating of them either. I have to jump on those jokes when they happen. I got to get in front of them, Eric.
Your buddy Tom sitting out the first four games.
Yeah, I know. That's really annoying.
It doesn't scare you taking Rob Gronkowski in the first round? Four games, at least, where Tom Brady's not going to be the quarterback.
Well, this is my thought on this particular draft. As I saw the wide receivers going quickly, is that while AJ Green, who went in the pick after me, is a top flight wide receiver, I felt that Gronk gave me a little bit more value. The difference between Gronk and whoever ends up being the number two tight end is so huge that having that advantage at that position is fantastic. And honestly, Adrian Peterson was going to be my pick if he had fallen to me one more. That would have been my first round pick, and I would have tried to get Gronk in the second round. I will tell you that my strategy in most drafts this year, and I'd still have a couple more, is to try and get Gronk in that second round, but he's not lasting. that long. Right. So unless I've got a late first round, so I have an early second round, I'm not going to get Gronk. And my fear was I wasn't going to get Gronk where I was picking. So I had to, I feel it's a little bit of a reach in the first round. And I do think in terms of the Patriots and the way that they're going to utilize the tight end in those first four games, I think Martellus Bennett is going to have some huge, huge upside in those first four games. I think he's the one that's developing a lot of chemistry with Garoppolo. But Gronk is going to be a beast when Brady comes back, because Brady's going to be a beast. It's the Gronk U Tour part deux. I think Gronk is going to have a huge second half of the season. I am recommending to a lot of people, try and get Bennett a little bit later in drafts, and then you're going to want to sell high after game one, because he's going to have a huge game one against the Cardinals, who historically don't play well against tight ends. Sell Martellus Bennett after game one, and you're going to be extremely happy with how you did there. So that was my thought on Gronk. I didn't end up with Bennett, but I also think Gronk will still get enough, still has enough upside in those first four games, even though I think Bennett might outperform him. He's still like the main target. He's undefensible. My son's playing Madden 17 right now as we speak. I mean, the guy is a beast.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, he is a surefire Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a fantasy beast, and having him number one. I know Jordan Reed was right on his heels last year, you know, with almost the same amount of points at the end of the year. And with way less games, he was banged up more than Gronk was and missed a few games. So for me, like the cost of Gronkowski, because he does have a history of injury, the back, you know, he's having a messed up back. That worries me because he plays so physical. But, I mean, for me, it's like if he's your guy, then you take him. Like that's how I draft. I want guys that I like, that I believe in on my team. I do most of it by gut feel, and you know, I'm not much of a numbers guy, but you know, you have to take that all into consideration, because when it comes down to it, it is a numbers thing. But I draft players that I like, and I like Gronkowski, but he's too expensive for me. I usually avoid him.
Who's a couple of the guys you mentioned that you draft guys that you like and that you want? Who are a couple of guys you're targeting this year?
We're talking about Torrey Smith. You know, look at the Chip Kelly's number one receiver. For the last, you know, 3 years has been a top, you know, five, top eight wide receiver. No matter who the quarterback was, no matter how the running game was going, didn't matter. Chip Kelly, the idea behind his offense is he wants to just run twice as many plays as you, because the odds are they're going to score. That's what he believes. Either whether it's right and whether it's worked in the NFL or not, obviously not. Now he's in San Francisco, but fantasy wise, PPR. Someone like Torrey Smith could end up with, you know, 150 catches this year. And that's, putting it lightly, that's how I look at it. He's the number one in the Chip Kelly offense. He's going to be on the field every single play. If he stays healthy, he's going to catch a pile of balls and hopefully catch some bomb passes from either Kaepernick or Gabbert. So, I mean, he's a guy that I really believe in this year. And we're going to find out. It's 50-50 for me. So that's a guy that I'm hanging my hat on, that, you know, people are starting to come around now, but I've been on him all year. He's a guy that I really believe in this year.
Torrey Smith was taken by Team Fantasy Sharks in the eighth round of our draft. Wally Sperlin representing him. Yeah. Other wide receivers that went in this round, right before him was Kevin White. Right after him was Marvin Jones. But one of the guys that I really like this year at wide receiver for these deeper rounds, Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks. And I know I'm not the only one on that bandwagon.
Yeah, he's in some of the pro leagues, like he's going really early. People really believe that he might in the end be the number one, you know, in Seattle. So it's, there's no way to know. I mean, no one has the magic crystal ball. So like I said, like for me, like drafting, like fantasy football is about having fun and doing things how you want. And, you know, I mean, and at the end of the year, it's gratifying when, you know, when I look back and if Torrey Smith has the year that I think he is, that's going to be something I'm going to be able to say, like, look, this is a guy that I took in a lot of my draft, a lot of my NFL 10s, a lot of my PPR drafts. Torrey Smith is definitely a guy that I'm reaching for. You mentioned earlier, Marvin Jones, I really like him a lot too. I think he's going to be the number one in Detroit, and they're going to throw the ball a ton.
You have any thoughts on the running backs, running back you're targeting?
for me, like I said, I think McCoy is going to be the number one. He's looked amazing in preseason. I'm a bit of a Bills homer too. That was my childhood team. I love watching McCoy run the ball. He's a guy that I'm getting whenever I can. You know, whenever I can, if I come in that second round and he's still there, I'm usually taking him unless there's a really good wide receiver available. I know Ezekiel Elliott is going high, but man, that scares me. It scares me taking a rookie. I mean, I get it. Like, he was good at blocking in college, and he was a great runner in college and stuff. But that's in college. You know, and Johnny Manziel was one of the best quarterbacks to ever play college football, and now he's not in the league. I mean, there are people say there's lots of reasons for that, but he had his opportunity. Running back, I think, is a little bit different than quarterback. Obviously, it's an easier transition from college to pro. But man, like, he's going, you got to spend so high on him. No one really knows. Having Morris there, McFadden, it's a muddled mess. And I think they're going to probably run the ball a lot, but I don't know if it's going to be Ezekiel Elliott on the field all the time.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I think the anointed one is going to disappoint a lot of fantasy owners this year.
I think so too. I'm steering clear of him.
I absolutely agree. I do feel sorry for you and your Buffalo Bills fandom. It's really a shame. They don't make it easy.
There was some glorious years with Kelly and Thurman Thomas and all those guys. But yeah, it's the team that I followed since I was a young kid. I'm a sucker for punishment, but I'm a Bills fan in NFL, and I'm a Maple Leafs fan in hockey. So neither team has made it very easy, but that's where my allegiance lies, and it won't change.
Quarterbacks. How about any quarterbacks? Who you like? And when do you take a quarterback, by the way? You mentioned you like to draft guys when you want to draft them. I'm also a points is points guy. So I'll take a quarterback whenever I feel like it's, you know, that time to take a quarterback. But what are your thoughts on a quarterback?
For me, it's all about value. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking here at the fifth round, Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's a pretty good grab. You mean, and it's just going to depend on who else is out there. You mean, I think I'm looking real quick. Carlos Hyde is a guy that I like. Michael Floyd is another guy that I like that I probably would have taken in front of him. Matt Jones, I believe, before the AC joint sprain or whatever, I really believed in him too. But for me, it just... Man, quarterbacks, there's so many of them. And in a 10-team league where you're starting only one quarterback, that means, you know, every week only 10 quarterbacks are needed. There's 32. So, you know, do the math. There's a guy out there, you know, in a 10-team league, I'm probably going to stream. You know, I don't think there's a big enough gap in between the top five and the bottom five. I think they're all going to do around the same, and they produce points week in and week out guaranteed. So, yeah, in a 10-team league, I'm streaming a quarterback. I'll probably take him, you know, in the 11th, 12th, maybe 13th, 14th round. I wait.
Interesting. That's a very good point, solid point. I always find, depending on the league I'm in, streaming can be difficult. So it's a lot of it has to be about knowing who you're drafting with, who you're playing with, because I know guys will, in certain leagues that I've played in, will just suck up quarterbacks. They'll sit on a whole bunch of quarterbacks on their bench just so that you don't have one.
Yeah. And that is an advantage of knowing, you know, and your bench size. I mean, like, if you can carry a backup, then you know, maybe getting another guy high and having that backup for the bye week or in case your starter gets hurt, it's a good idea. For me, it's just about value. You know, like, where are you going to get them? For me, I wait. I mean, I believe there's 20 good starting quarterbacks, and in a 10-team league, I think you can get one of them at some point in the draft and late. So that's my strategy. I mean, everyone's different. Sometimes you like having that solid guy. I think Drew Brees is going to rip it this year, man. I really believe. I think he's got the best wide receiver core he's ever had. Mark Ingram has come into his own. He's good at running the ball. Fleener, I think, is going to have a solid, productive year. I don't think he's going to be the superstar everyone else is thinking, because there's so many mouths to feed in New Orleans, but I think he's going to be, you know, top. He's going to be top five for sure. He might even be top three.
Well, I can tell you that from my one viewing of practice of the Saints, that I don't think Kobe Fleener is going to be the tight end everyone is looking for. But then again, my history of tight ends and watching them at Patriots camp is a long story.
Remember Sudfeld well.
I don't know who you're referring to. I don't know of this Zach Sudfeld guy. Awesome. Well, Eric, we look forward to what you've got coming up next. And I guess I'll leave it at that. Where can people follow you right now?
I'm the Eric Young on Twitter, the Eric Young IG on Instagram. Stay tuned. Got some big stuff coming down the pipe. We'll be gracing your televisions real soon, I think, and talking with Travel Channel about maybe another television show. So I'm excited, man. This is going to be a super exciting year, but I am definitely in fantasy football world right now. I'm in full go, all systems go. I've listened to 2 or 3 podcasts already this morning, and I've watched almost every snap of every preseason game so far. So I'm a lunatic when it comes to this stuff. I just consume as much as I possibly can.
Awesome. Love it. Thanks for joining us on our inaugural Wednesday interview podcast. And I hope to talk to you again down the road.
This is going to be a big deal, and I'm kicking things off, number one.
So there you go. The Next Fan Up inaugural edition of the interview podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Do please go check out that Blog Talk Radio Expert League. A lot of those guys will be on this edition of the podcast in the coming weeks and months. So don't miss out on any of those interviews. You can just subscribe to the Next Fan Up podcast. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, go to any player. Great podcasts are heard. You'll be able to catch the Next Fan Up podcast and leave us a review. We certainly would love to hear from you how we're doing and want to hear more about what we can do to provide you better insights. Coming up tomorrow, we will have our preview of preseason week 3 in the NFL. And I'm excited about this one because this is the week that everyone says this is the week that counts. This is the week where you're going to see most of the starters play a majority of the time. There will be a few teams that are still looking at some players, looking to see if they're going to make the cut, see if maybe they're going to be practice squad candidates. But mostly teams are pretty much got an idea of where their roster is. There's going to be a few extra things. I'm very curious to see what our Denver Broncos fan has to say about the starting quarterback position. I'm very curious to see what our Giants fan has to say because he's already said a lot. I can tell you that already. Very interesting insights that are from the fan. The only place that will give you the perspective of 32 fans dedicated to their NFL team right here, the Next Fan Up podcast. Email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can go to facebook.com/NFU podcast. You'll see all the write-ups by our super fans previewing their favorite teams and their games. So we're getting ready. We're psyched. It's the third week of the preseason. Regular season can't come soon enough, and we'll include more super fan battles. So you'll hear even more voices from all of the 32 super fans. Hope you enjoyed this episode of the Next Fan Up podcast. We'll have more interviews in the weeks to come. Already working on a guest for next week. So tune in, talk to you soon. And as always, here comes Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is 4 quarters long.